What's good and what's happening? This is the Black and Unusual Podcast, a series of politically based conversations that unpack the underlying gaps with Black culture, business, and relationships. Your host, J-Dub, that's me, strives to address the crucial conversations that will strengthen the connection towards moving our culture forward. Listeners should expect an informed conversation from personal experience, thought-driven insight on the topics and issues that are affecting our Black and brown communities. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Welcome on back to another episode of Black and Unusual Podcast. I'm your host, J-Dub. I hope I didn't bore y'all or really confuse y'all too much with the political talk. And I went back and listened to it, and I ran all the way through that really, really fast. And it was kind of on purpose. Want you to get it real quick. Didn't want to hold you long. But I also wanted you to go back and click it again. Go back and review. Take notes. If you hear some questions, a few people have messaged me. Shout out to y'all. Sending me a what's up, tell me more. Can you send me links? Can you verify this? Oh, by all means, yes. That's my pleasure to make sure we get this information on our politics. While we're talking about politics, thank you all for tuning in and asking those questions. I wanted to bring it a little bit back home. Nashville home, at that, North Nashville to be specific. So who would be best to take you down these North Nashville streets and provide a little history lesson, a little background on what really North Nashville is about, the 37208, the 37218, and a host of others? Who could provide you with this information? Ah, I guess that shall be me. My pleasure, by all means. Because before we got to this current state in life, what we're protecting, what we're preserving, what we're trying to revitalize the community out north and bring cultural enlightenment and art projects and whatnot, there was a time where you came from Baptist Hospital, you dig, you went to King's Lane, you dig, you went to Jolton Elementary, you went to other areas around the city, but nothing was similar to the North Nashville experience. And that's because the legacy, the history is rich within the North Nashville area in this community. So we can just start with the original people that populated the city and how we got to all the blackness on the north side. So Nashville, a little background, was accumulated with enslaved and freed blacks around 1779, up to about 20% of them were Fort Nashboro, to be exact. If y'all know what that is, check it out. And we became settlers. Some people were freed, as mentioned, and some were just there to help out with the war. Once all of that subsided, and it was in the Union's favor, everybody kind of came free. Everybody started to build for themselves. Little areas around the town started to come up. One in particular, Hell's Half Acre, or Black Bottom, as was referred to. Hell's Half Acre, around the 1950s, it's near the state capitol, where they built the road at. That connects the two, state capital downtown, and Black Bottom, more downtown area into the 1950s, where it's where the river flooded, and it left residue in the streets, so they called it Black Bottom. Nonetheless, our black communities set up shop around there. The war ended, they said, y'all free a little bit, y'all go ahead and start a little town. Well, you know what, we sure did. Well, around that 1950 time, they said, well, this area looks good, but we're going to go ahead and get y'all up out of here. We plan on building a capital, building more commerce, building more distribution. We want to do some urban renewal projects, if you will. And they moved us out, y'all. They said, we're going to get out of this downtown south area, and we're going to kick y'all across the Cumberland River. It's a whole lot of land over there. It's hilly. It's valley-y. Valley-y ain't a word, but roll with it, y'all. And over in this area, we turn it into Bordeaux, North Nashville, the hub, the mecca of where the black folks had to go at that time. Now, some still stayed out South Nashville, but not many. We were displaced. That was the first displacement of our people and the culture here in Nashville. But nonetheless, we got over to the Bordeaux area and we made the best of it. Since then, it expanded to areas covering Metro Center all the way to the corner of Bicentennial Mall. These areas had different names, like Bordeaux, as mentioned, Buena Vista, again, shout out Kings Lane, Germantown, Enchanted Hills, Haynes Manor, Haynes Park, Trinity Hills, Hadley Park, Jefferson Street, Richland Park, Salem Town, Scottsboro, and a host of others. Now, some of these names have been gentrified in today's time, but these are the original origins of where our people came and set up shop and claimed it as North Nashville. But let's keep it rolling. Urban renewal projects, as mentioned, like the interstate. Which interstate? Interstate Highway 40. Yeah, big 4-0. It came, y'all. It came through and did some damage to our North Nashville community. It destroyed pretty much everything we had built up and got popping. If you don't know, check out some mini documentaries. Nashville Public Library has put on some. There have been some with PBS here recently of what happened to Jefferson Street. Well, when I-40 came through, the city council of Nashville at that time was determined, you know, y'all don't need to do this because it's going to destroy our property, it's going to destroy our land, and a host of different things. We'll get to that a little bit later in further detail, but let's just tell you, put an asterisk on Interstate Highway 40, because that's really where they got us messed up. At that point, that's when they really started to Black Wall Street us, you dig? That's when they really started to Tulsa, Oklahoma, Nashville, Tennessee, and specifically Jefferson Street. But we'll tap into that in a moment. Stay tuned. With the urban renewal projects that came through with the federal government, it also came with the highway, as mentioned, but public housing projects. Now, these projects, they centralized poverty and destruction to the communities, making it more difficult for blacks to accumulate property and wealth. It said, we're going to put you in this project of ours, to keep y'all in. You know, a saying said that the white man is the scientist and the black man is the project. Well, ironically, they put us in these project homes that really just stifled our whole creation to build wealth and to grow from that. Well, Dub, hold on. How did this happen? How did everybody just snap their fingers and next thing you know, we getting screwed out of our land, our property, our chances to grow? Well, some acts, some bills, some legislation came down. You see, that's why we did the political part first, where we get a little bit of the basic civics out the way, because these systematic systems of oppression and racism have implemented all of our communities, and specifically here in Nashville, and most certainly North Nashville. So let's get into a few of those. The Housing Act of 1937, y'all. Check it out. Regulated housing for different areas. Who can get what? Who can go into this? How many people can go into this? How many blacks can go in this community? How much zoning appropriation, how much funding and revitalization should go? Now have some regulations as of 1937. The Wagner-Steagall Act, S-T-E-G-A-L, Wagner-Steagall, my bad, Wagner-Steagall Act. I'm not sure who Wagner-Steagall is. Maybe it's one dude Wagner and the other dude is Steagall. Like Barnes & Noble, I'm not sure. But that wasn't no good for us. The Housing Act of 1949, for another example. These things came through and said, if you're black in a certain area, this is going to cost more for you. Or this land and to build on it, you know, you may have purchased the land outright, but it's going to cost you a little bit of limitations of what you can put on the land, how you can build and invest off of it. Can you build farmland and grow things, provide animals on there, grow them, breed them? All of these regulations came through some of these equal in air quotes, housing acts. Now, from those as well, there were the Federal Highway Aid Act of 1956. This authorized the Interstate 40 to go through North Nashville. Well, John, you done said that again. What is that? I'm going to get to that, but just pin that. If I say something multiple times, that means I need you to grasp it. I need you to go ahead and look it up, write that down, circle it on your notepad, because this Interstate 40, you know, that catches out to West Nashville a little bit, takes a little bit out of Charlotte. That one, it goes over Jefferson Street. That one was pivotal to the disasters and the destructions that came to our North Nashville area. But I'm going to keep going. I'm going to come back on that again. let me just mention a couple of famous folks now. Most personal to me is the great Zora Neale Hurston. Lived in the city. Did y'all know that? Her brother went to Meharry. So she ended up the end of her life here in Meharry. Well, not necessarily at Meharry, but in Nashville, y'all. Of course, Jimi Hendrix and all the musical icons, Betsy Smith, other folks like May Rainey, Count Basie. The list can go on and on. And to find that, please go visit Jefferson Street Sound across from Citizens Bank. Where? On Jefferson Street, duh. Go check it out. It is a small museum that is also a studio that is the legacy of these few folks I mentioned and a host more. Walls, wall-to-wall pictures, autographs, artifacts. It's a historic museum to music and culture that has blessed the black community. Another thing that blessed black community over that time was the Bazouz Theater. It was a playhouse, if you will. It was one of the first black theaters in the South. This was in Nashville as well, up to 1957, that is, when it was destroyed for the Municipal Auditorium. Yeah, you know, the auditorium right now where the sound be kind of crazy, a little bit downtown. But you go in there and they be having everything from bullfights to dumpster trucks to, I don't know. Everything else goes down. The Soul Circus used to come there. A host of things. Anything. If you can't get into Bridgestone or Bridgestone booked, you could always find a spot over there at the Municipal. Well, the Bazouz Theater used to be there. And it was just, Nashville was an epicenter for black entertainment and black music, y'all. Now, let me add a little detail in here. After World War II, low-income housing projects came to South, East, and North Nashville. Again, part of this revitalization of the area. Part of these housing acts, the urban renewal process, also known as the New Deal program, these relief projects, if you will, they started spreading the projects we mentioned at first to all the other parts of the city. So be like, well, duh, we still some projects out South. Yeah, this is how they happen. You know, our Alicia had some projects and our East had some too. Yeah. This is how it happened. After World War II, these low-income families, groups of people, blacks, were placed in these projects, man, and spread it across our entire town. I let them tell it, they were diversifying the town. But one thing that also came with these New Deal projects of relief was Pearl High School, Andrew Jackson Housing Projects, and also the Recreation Center at TSU A&I. I thought it was just TSU. It was, but it was also agricultural and industry. It was development. It was creative things on the land and the soil. It's a land grant college, historically black university. There were some key things that they specialized in back in the day before the name changed. It was TSU A&I. Now, speaking of TSU, did y'all read here recently that the state of Tennessee over the past 30 years owes TSU $2.1 billion with a B, with a big blue B, dollars back. Now, see, last time I understand, they only owe TSU about No, it's more than that. $2.1 billion. Ain't that something? Governor Lee, what you gonna do? State legislator, what you gonna do? You will owe our HBCU a lot of money here that's significant to our development institution, the educational process for our black and brown communities of Nashville, Tennessee. And you've been holding money for decades now. Just a little segue to our institutions. They've been underfunded, as you're aware. They've been, stifled and shortcoming for decades since their existence. But we have four of them right here. Four historically black college universities, arguably on the same road. That Jefferson Street we keep mentioning? Yeah, it was the epicenter of that. Let me get to a few of those. Now, one they would say is the earliest, 1866, known as the Fisk University. It was a former Union Army barrack. So when the Union came down here fighting the Confederates down here in the South, they decided, well, we're going to set up shop here on this land. Now, after, the Union won, they said, well, this land is sacred. This land is holy. We're going to put some institutional properties here. Matter of fact, one of the buildings, one of the barracks where the army was at turned into the origins of Fisk University, 1866, y'all. Since then, there was Meharry Medical College. Well, all of our medical needs have been advocated for, supported, created, established. You know, COVID, right? COVID-19, just a few years, just a few ticks back. You know, the servicing for that, the medication, the vaccines were established, arguably, in them same halls of Meharry Medical College. Shout out Meharry. Been saving our generation, our aces, for decades. Attached to our general hospital as well, all the servicing to the black and brown community, you had to go to Meharry or Nashville General. Also, coming down on Jefferson Street, there is TSU. Again, we just mentioned TSU, A&I, and later changed the name TSU, the historically TSU. And then there's also ABC, American Baptist College. Not necessarily on the Jefferson Street corridor, but still around the corner, still out north area. You can arguably say this is the mecca of the civil rights movement. This is the mecca of black education, historically black education. John Lewis attended ABC. James Bevel attended ABC. Bernard Lafayette. And the list goes on and on. You know about all the athletes. You know about all the entertainers. It's Googleable. You can go on any TSU, Meharry, and Fisk page and find all the intellectual, all the talented and gifted blacks that came out of this community, all striving through Jefferson Street. Well, Dub, I'm tired of you talking about Jefferson Street. You done talked about it for a few times. What went on with that? Well, again, around the 1950s, they said we're going to pass some laws that's going to allow interstate to come through. The Department of Transportation, the federal government, they said, listen, we need to make corridors. We need to open up passageways for more commerce and travel to come through this place. And they put it right through the heart of Black Nashville, also known as North Nashville and Jefferson Street. When the highway came, y'all, it was a sad day for the community. Many of our businesses, they crumbled. Many of our entrepreneurs, they had to fold or close up shop. Some of them got a little check, and you know that check wasn't about nothing. Some of them got a little parting gift, a little farewell, and you know it wasn't enough to add up to the economic downfall our community felt. But they got it. They got disrespected. They got a little cash and told to get gone. And if they didn't get the cash, they just had to get gone. I'm going to save this last because the most downer part of this little episode, but I want to lay out three different facts of how this interstate devastated the black community of North Nashville and Jefferson Street. 626 homes were demolished. Okay. I don't know where you live, but I take it you live in one home, or unless you balling and you got two or three or more. Hey, let me know. Donate to the podcast. Send me a Cash App at JDub130 if you got it like that. But at that current time, and for many of us still here today, 626 homes were demolished to build and make way for this interstate, y'all, where people lived at, where families grew for decades. And I just told you we went all the way back to 1779 being built in this city. Around the 1950s, decades later, they said, we're going to come through and just wipe all that on through right quick because we got to build some interstate. 128 businesses were wiped out. So, you know, we got the black economic boom. Now we trying to rebuild Black Wall Street ideas. Since the pandemic, everybody's coming up with a business or a nonprofit or a pact or some type of group to establish collective black unity. You know, 120 of them were destroyed, completely wiped out, due again to Interstate I-40. Next time you own I-40, just drive with a little mug on your face and just know that this is put here. Yeah, it's going to make you get from one side of town a little bit quicker. But just know our community, our economic thriving energy, our aura of the business collective unity in this city was destroyed. 128 businesses shut down. I recently had a conversation with one of the elders, had a shop on Jefferson Street. He vividly remembered and told me, I could tell it was hurtful for him to tell the story, but how one of his colleagues had a business right next door to him. And when they shut down his business, come and build the interstate, call it, just made up any type of term to come in to it and just, you know, just come in and take it over. He went into a state of depression. He went into like real suicidal thoughts. Next thing you know, he got hooked on drugs and he died shortly after. They said within a year of his business closing, all in the means of eminent domain, all in the means of the city council wanted to do it. So that's how we got it done. The day of, another tidbit, the day of the actual pivotal part right where the bridge crosses over Jefferson at the home ramp, if you will. It's home ramp and an exit ramp right there on Jefferson Street. They set up, they wrapped community leaders, some council members, just activists, if you will, in the city. Business owners, store owners, family and friends, they linked up and linked hands, almost like the Little Whoville. But they linked hands and was like, nah, don't tear this down. Please don't. Well, you can guess. It happened. The picture made it to the Tennessean and people saw it, but it didn't stop it. 80% of black-owned businesses in Nashville were destroyed due to this. That's devastating. That's a huge loss. We always talk about Tulsa. We talk about the plethora of other cities that got bombed by the federal government. We had some that were race riots that came and, you know, just destroyed us that way in many of our communities. But here in Nashville, they did it the good old-fashioned way, y'all. They came through and just said, we're going to put up new policy, new rules to not only gentrify and make things weird for you, we're going to come in and just take out all your businesses, too. It's sad. One thing we're going to tap into later in another episode are different black massacres. Not too many blacks were directly killed here in Nashville due to this, but the city was. The business boom, the economic prowess of it, the culture that North Nashville created was destroyed due to an interstate. It didn't get publicized as much as the killings, but a lot of our generational wealth was killed. A lot of our economic development, our mental capability. You see somebody walking down Jefferson Street today, just understand it may not have been on their own accord. Okay, have a little empathy, grow a little respect for where they come from. Maybe they just from out of town and been hooked on that boy for about 20-30 years, or what was their story before then, where they're able to walk up and down this street that's still trying to revitalize itself, and they can't revitalize themselves within, or they don't want to. Have a little empathy for people around that area that stick to that. They're true to that Jefferson Street, because most likely it's within them. That goes to Buchanan and Well as well. Our areas were destroyed, y'all. And we're here today to discuss it, pass the information out, let people know what really North Nashville is about. They want to say it's a 37208. We need to put cameras up around there, drive around, you see the cameras. We need to have more policing. No, you don't fight poverty with policing. All these things to demonize the area and to just stifle and shut down what we still trying to build. But it's going to take a lot more than the interstate this time. I do appreciate all the collective energy we have gathered back and trying to make Nashville and North Nashville specifically back to its reign of greatness and black excellence. So yeah, a little backstory. Marcus Garvey, I'll close it out with Marcus Garvey said, a people without the knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. All right. The problem with a lot of our youth and kids out here today, the grandparents came out of these struggles from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. The AIDS, crack cocaine. These things were put in our neighborhoods, in our streets. So the grandmamas of the day and granddaddies, they don't even know their history. So these kids passed us, passed Gen X, These kids now, they don't even know they're here, so they don't even know how to protect it, cultivate it, keep it living. They miss these things, y'all. A people without the knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. These kids don't have roots, and we wonder why they're committing crime. Our institutions and opportunities have been removed from them for generations, right? We're just now starting to get them back. Nashville and Jefferson Street are a laboratory for some of the most important historical, cultural, social events, economic growth in the southern United States. And that's on period. That's on Mary and the Lamb. Okay? That's on Big Jesus and the Big Slipper. Okay? So understand that when we talk about out north, we take it personally over here. When we talk about the north side, you know, 37208, 37218. Well, what's one of the little zip codes up in there? Whole bunch of them, y'all. When we talking about out north, we take it personal. No disrespect to the other sides. They equally are as important. But the cultural aspect that North Nashville has brought to Nashville in general, it goes back to Fort Negley. It goes back to the Black Bottom, Fort Nashboro. It's decades, generations of legacy members here in our society that are just trying to make this place a little better. Shout out Perry Wallace. Shout out the Wallace family. Shout out the Williamson family. Shout out the Andrews. You dig? Shout out the Hills. Shout out the Halls. We can keep going down the list of how I'm tapped in, but we want you to be tapped in as well. Support the Neighborhood Alliances. Support the North Nashville Collaboratives. And let's make North Nashville great again. Did I just make a MAGA reference? I didn't. I said North Nashville great again. Don't trip. But yeah, so we'll stop on that note. Until next time, tune in. You know, tell a friend. You know, share a link. Provide information. And next time you get in the room and people want to scream about 37208 in North Nashville, let them know the Black and Usual podcast. We gave you a little bit of more insight, a little bit of historical context to the politics of how we got where we are at. Well, what things got our community in these current situations? It wasn't voluntary, you dig, in many cases. But we're gonna bring it back one day at a time. So, as always, take care of each other. Check on yourself. Check on